Let's call this meeting of the Senate Judiciary Committee to order. It is 1:30 p.m. on Monday, March 4, 2024. Before we begin, I want to thank Juliana Singh, the Senate Judiciary Secretary, who makes sure we have a transcript of our meetings, and Dylan Williams from the Juneau LIO, who makes sure we have sound. At this time, I want to remind committee members and all those in the room to please silence your cell phones. Present today, we have Senator Tobin, my Vice Chair, Senator Keel, and myself, Senator Klayman. We have a quorum to conduct the business. Our first order of business today is Senate Bill 163, Animal Adoption Records, sponsored by Senator Myers. This is the second hearing of the bill in the Senate Judiciary Committee. There is a proposed committee substitute to Senate Bill 163 before us. Here to describe the changes, and Senator Kaufman has also joined us, here to describe the changes is the Senate Judiciary Committee aide, Brianna Kakarik. Brianna, if you would please come forward and put yourself on record and explain the changes.
Good afternoon, members of the committee. For the record, I am Brianna Kakarik, the Senate Judiciary Committee aide and staff to Senator Klayman. In the committee substitute, lines 30 through 31 on page 3 were amended. Records that include was deleted from the passage, so the passage now reads, names, addresses, or other information identifying a person as adopting or providing foster care for animals. This was done to provide the public with as much public information as possible while still keeping individuals' personal information private. This yes also includes conforming renumbering on page 3. Thank you.
Questions for Ms. Clark? Seeing none, could I have a motion to adopt the CS as our working document?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that the Senate Judiciary Committee adopt the committee substitute to Senate Bill 163. Work Order 33LS0978/S, as in Sitka, as our working document.
No objections. We will have adopted that as our working document. And our next would be a motion to move SB 163 from the. Actually, before I do that, Senator Myers, did you want to add anything? Anything you wanted to say today?
For the record, Robert Myers, Senator for District Q, just to say that I have no objection to the CS. I think that this is just one more way of tackling the same problem. I'm perfectly happy with it, and it's my understanding the Fairbanks North Star Borough is happy with it as well.
Okay. Any questions for Senator Myers? Hearing and seeing none, Senator Keel, could I have a motion?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move the Senate Judiciary Committee report out CS for Senate Bill 163. Work Order 33LS0978/S, as in Skagway, with individual recommendations.
Hearing no objection, Senate Bill 163 moves from committee. If you will please sign the paperwork as we proceed forward with our other business. And Senator Myers, thank you for joining us today. Our last order of business today is confirmation hearings. We have present, we received to the Judiciary Committee, we have nominees to the Violent Crimes Compensation Board and the Alaska Police Standards Council. Members should already have resumes from each of the appointees, and the appointees are all online and will be testifying, so we're going to open public testimony on confirmation hearings. And for the appointees, since you're on the phone, please make sure you're not on a speakerphone, as the sound is not as clear and it is often difficult to hear what you're saying. And our first appointee up is Anna Cometa, who has been appointed to the Violent Crimes Compensation Board. Ms. Cometa, if you would place yourself on the record, give us a little background and any statement you would like to provide.
Hi, can everybody hear me okay?
Yes.
Great. Thank you again for the opportunity to speak in front of all of you, Mr. Chairman, and to the rest of the committee. I'm very grateful to have been considered for appointment for the Violent Crimes Compensation Board, having worked for the state of Alaska as an attorney with the Attorney General's Office for 8 years, and then having worked as a magistrate judge in Palmer for 2 years, and now with the opportunity presenting itself while I'm in private practice. I've been really rewarded by the opportunity to give back to sort of my former work with victims through the Violent Crimes Compensation Board. I was approached by the Office of Victims' Rights from former contacts there, having been a prosecutor. And when I was a prosecutor, I did specialize in crimes against children, and I had had prior experience representing the Office of Children's Services in sort of but to put it sort of mildly, very.
I can assure you, it's not as rugged as oral argument in front of the Supreme Court.
No. Well, I appreciate that. I know I've presented many, many cases to a jury, and yet I'm nervous in front of you all. But I just very much care about this cause, having worked with very, very many victims of all ages in the state of Alaska, and being very passionate about this area. And one of the goals, I just would say, having been involved with the Violent Crimes Compensation Board for several months now, is to improve our outreach to the community through victim services like DVSA and the like, to be able to get the word out more about our Violent Crimes Compensation Board and what we're able to do. Already there have been improvements in our technology. We have, through our director, Tori, who's incredible, she has revamped the website. There's an online application now, and there's just a lot more accessibility work that's being done with the VCCB that I'm very, very proud of, and I would be very excited and grateful for the opportunity to continue. With that, I'm happy to answer any questions that the committee might have.
Questions from members of the committee. Senator Tobin.
Thank you. And thank you so much, Ms. Someone might need to say this again. Comieda? How do you say your last name?
It's Italian.
Thank you. I see that you're also a Rotarian, and so I appreciate when folks provide service above self. I do have a question around capacity issues. You said that you've been involved with the Violent Crimes Compensation Board now for a bit of time, and I see in the FY24 budget, the restorative justice funding was authorized up to the statutory cap to provide additional support services for folks, including a paralegal and administrative officer. And so I'm just curious if those positions have been hired for, and how do you feel if you're well supported in that role?
Thank you so much for asking that question, Senator Tobin. Those positions, I believe, have been filled. At least we had a paralegal and an administrative officer at our last meeting. They are instrumental to what the Violent Crimes Compensation Board does and be able to process more applications. And as I said earlier, that is a huge goal of the board, is to process more and more claims, because I think, and I wish I had the graph in front of me, but if Tori has the opportunity to testify in front of you all at some point, she has a graph of how many violent crimes have been reported within the last fiscal year and how many claims we received and how many we were able to process. And while that number is growing of claims that we're able to process, we're still barely scratching the surface of, and we think that's really an outreach effort that we need to make. So with the addition of this funding with these two positions, they are now able to process more claims and do more outreach, which is absolutely essential to our mission at the BCCB. So thank you again for providing that funding. And I would hope that the BCCB continues to be of consideration for future funding.
Thank you.
I don't see any other questions, just a couple of questions. It looks like you were work for the court system serving in Palmer. Was there a point in time you lived in Palmer and then relocated to Anchorage, or were you commuting to Palmer from Anchorage during that period of time?
I was commuting during that time. When I worked in Palmer before, when I represented OCS through the Attorney General's office, I lived in Eagle River and commuted there. But I spent a lot of time in Palmer. I don't know. I think when I was an assistant attorney general, my hours were probably a lot more intensive than even in private practice, where you're, you know, required to bill hours. I work day and night out there, and so I spend a lot of time in Palmer, and it's very, very dear to me. I'm very partial to the Valley, and I think it's an area that needs a lot of support, especially in the judiciary. They desperately need judges there. If I could just make a little plug for that. Desperately need more judges, and I was very grateful and fortunate to serve there as a magistrate judge. But truly, that the region is, you know, the size of West Virginia. They really, really, and they're growing fast, and they really, really need more judges there.
Thank you. The only as a member of the what is often called the Downtown Rotary in Anchorage, I can only wonder why you would have joined the East Club instead of the Downtown Club, but we won't. We won't hold that against you in terms of your confirmation. And
Of the opera.
Oh, okay.
The opera tolerators are in the East Rotary, and since I'm involved with the opera, they ask me to join. But I do respect the Downtown Rotary very much.
And I'm impressed with the fact that in looking at a lot of your community service, whenever you finish on one board, you find another. So that also is very impressive. That's really more of just a thank you very much for your service and not really a question. And are you a partner in the Holmes Weddle firm, or are you, what's your status?
Oh, no. I'm just an associate. I love working here, and we do a lot of great work in the community, but I think it's not, I don't do a lot of any criminal work or any, child native aid or victims rights work here, except that I think my job here has put me in a better position to be able to do more community service and be on this board. And so it was sort of serendipitous, but yeah, it's been a private practice after working for the state for so long is very different, but it's been a really great adventure, especially being able to be more involved.
Thank you very much. Thank you for your testimony. I don't see any other questions from anyone else on the committee. So next we're going to go to Ron Dupuy. Mr. Dupuy, and if I mispronounced your name, please correct me. He's been appointed to the Alaska Police Standards Council. If you would go ahead and state your name for the record and proceed with your testimony.
Yes, sir. My name is Ron Dupuy. I'm the Chief of Police with the City of Fairbanks. I was actually appointed to the Alaska Police Standards Council when the Juneau police chief left mid last year. And so this is just a renewal of that appointment, and I'm excited to continue this journey. I've been a law enforcement officer in the state of Alaska since 2003, so just over 20 years now. And I look forward to continuing this journey with Alaska Police Standards Council.
So this is a reappointment as opposed to a new appointment. Any questions from members of the committee? Senator Keel.
Thank you. Chief, can you just talk to us a little bit about what you see as the biggest future work items on the Standards Council's list? We don't get too many opportunities to interact with the council, so I'd love to know what the major work points are ahead of the group.
Sure. Thank you, Senator. I think the biggest thing affecting all the agencies in the state of Alaska right now is the recruiting and retention of qualified officers. I have some ideas on things that we can do to help retain officers or bring officers back. And then there's also some legislative fixes that we need to put in place with regards to police officer certifications. Currently, there's no avenue for us to suspend a license. So the person either has their police standards license or they don't. There's no in between. So when the board takes action against somebody's license, they continue to have the license and can serve in that capacity until it goes through the entire process and the civil court. And so there's a period of time in there that we need to shore up with some kind of legislation to get a suspension and a license to where it can be reviewed, and then make a determination whether the person gets to keep their license or has to give it up. But those two things, I think, are the biggest areas that I see challenges right now in the state. And the recruiting and retention, I know, is also being dealt with in the legislature with retirement and benefits side of it as well.
Hello. Senator Keel.
Thank you. I appreciate that very much. Is there a piece of legislation pending on the suspension, or is that something that still needs to be introduced?
I believe that still needs to be introduced. I think we had talked about it. The board had talked prior to me being on the board. It was introduced several years ago as a big package. It didn't go through, and there were some issues with that, trying to introduce everything as a big package. So I believe the board is currently working on some language and some things to put that forward.
Thank you. Senator Tobin.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you. I believe this is the second time we've had a chance to chat with you a little bit about your thoughts and considerations. And I want to ask specifically about VPSO recruitment and what the potential timeline or what you consider might be some of the ups and downs, the left and rights of the Alaska Police Council, the Standards Council, overseeing any type of regulation of that particular group. I'm looking at some of the things we've seen in the news recently around some of the officers who are part of the VPSO program not necessarily following typical processes to get to a law enforcement route and having some other considerations that may not necessarily be in alignment with what typical police standards entail. So your thoughts on VPSO recruitment and also regulation of that particular entity.
Yes, thanks, Senator. I don't believe that Alaska Police Standards Council actually certifies the VPSOs. So they're kind of their own unique program. As far as the recruiting and retention of VPSOs, I can't say that I'm an expert in that. That's covered by the state and I believe some of the tribal entities. Being a municipality, we don't deal a lot with that. I'm not sure of the training that they're required to be certified as a VPSO.
Senator Tobin.
Thank you. And I might have to look back as I'm looking at a particular regulation that the Alaska Police Council standards establishes the basic standards for the VPSO program. So I might need to talk with some additional individuals as I am under the understanding that the APSC does provide that basic framework.
Do we want to get some clarification? We have the public safety commissioners here. I know that wasn't part of the plan, but with the question that's been raised, I would appreciate the input.
Through the chair, thank you. James Cockrell, Commissioner of the Alaska Department of Public Safety. Actually, I was just here to support all three of the candidates because they affect our department. I'll try to, Senator Tobin, through the chair, I'll try to answer your question. The Alaska Police Standards Council does not have oversight of the VPSO program. That is Department of Public Safety. Essentially, that is me. The Alaska Police Standards Council does certify village police officers, which is a little bit different than VPSOs and your regular, what I call law enforcement officers. So they do certify the VPOs, and certainly the VPSO, if you want to get into that, or if my answer is enough, just let me know. Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much. Are there questions from the committee for Mr. Dupuy? I did have one question, Mr. Dupuy, and if the Fairbanks Police Department does not have an official position, that may be your out. But Senate Bill 88, the legislation that would return Alaska to a defined benefits retirement plan, Do you or the Fairbanks Police Department have a position on that legislation?
I haven't reviewed that legislation in its entirety. I believe it's similar to the one that I worked on when I was a member of PSEA and I was part of the executive board there. I think that a defined benefit retirement system would go a long way to the retention and recruitment part of the problem that we're having in Alaska right now with law enforcement agencies. And to be honest, it's not a problem that just is faced here in Alaska. Nationwide, we're having a shortage of applicants for police officer positions. But not having a defined benefit system is a deterrent when officers from out of state are looking at other places to go. As we know, Alaska is a very law enforcement friendly state. Our community, you know, supports our law enforcement, and a lot of officers from other states are looking to leave and go to communities that are supporting their officers. And so I think we're missing out on a few that would come if we did have a defined benefit retirement system. So we would be in support of the defined benefit retirement system for law enforcement and EMS personnel.
Thank you very much. I don't see any other questions. Thank you very much for joining us today. Next, we're going to go to Jeff Brown, who has also been appointed to the Alaska Police Standards Council. Mr. Brown, if you would please state your name for the record and proceed with your statement.
Thank you. Through the chair, for the record, my name is Jeff Brown. I'm the chief of police for the North Slope Borough and the current member of the Alaska Police Standards Council. Mayor Pupkatuk asked that I pass on his regards to y'all. I'm deeply honored to be before you today as a nominee for confirmation to continue service with the Alaska Police Standards Council. As a dedicated advocate for justice, safety, and the well-being of our communities, I'm committed to upholding the highest standards of professionalism and integrity within law enforcement. Throughout my career, I've demonstrated a steadfast commitment to public service and a passion for fostering positive relationships between law enforcement agencies and the communities they serve. I firmly believe that effective policing requires collaboration, transparency, and accountability at every level. Confirmed, I pledge to approach my responsibilities with diligence, fairness, and a steadfast commitment to the principles and equity of justice. I'm eager to contribute my skills, experience, and perspective to the important work that the Alaska Police Standards Council working tirelessly to ensure that our law enforcement agencies are held to the highest standards and of excellence. Thank you for considering my nomination. I look forward to the opportunity to continue to serve in that capacity, and I'm certainly open to any questions that you all may have.
I just have a very short question, and then I'll turn it over to the rest of the committee. How long have you served on the council?
This is my second term. I'd have to go back and look at my notes as to when I was first put in, maybe 2-3 years ago.
Okay. Thank you very much. Questions from Senator Keel.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Chief Brown, I'll ask you the same question I asked the other chief. Major issues you see coming up for the council during this forthcoming term, maybe not just this year, but big issues that he didn't address that you think are likely to be on the work list?
Yeah, thank you, through the chair. So a few that Chief Dupuy did not touch on that I think we've had conversations on and continue to work through. One is creating an administrative certification for law enforcement professionals. So currently, certificates are basic, intermediate, and advanced certifications. And there's been conversations about developing kind of an administrative road for officers to go through for first-line supervision, middle management, and then upper management for certification processes. And again, coming up with the requirements for training and aspects that kind of go along with those certifications. Second to that is actually creating currently for corrections officers, there's essentially just a basic certification for corrections, and there's a desire to develop and implement kind of an intermediate and advanced certification process, kind of mirroring that of law enforcement to provide for additional training opportunities and other related kind of advantages for corrections staff. Another thing that we've touched on that I think is going to come to the forefront kind of sooner rather than later is as a result of kind of the legalization of marijuana within the state, how does that affect not just in terms of recruitment, but also in terms of retention for currently certified both law enforcement and corrections officers. Again, Standards Council prohibits the use of marijuana, but being that now marijuana has been legalized within the state, do we need to look at making adjustments there as to how Standards Council and the state kind of looked at that usage towards its sworn and certified members? And I think Chief Dupree kind of hit on some of the other issues that we currently are kind of working through in terms of suspension, abilities, and that sort of stuff for certifications as we're reviewing particular cases.
Thank you. I don't see other questions from members of the committee. I'll ask you the same question I asked Chief Dupree with respect to the benefit, whether you have a position about the return to a defined benefit retirement and how it might affect public safety employees.
Yeah, I echo the sentiment there, through the chair. Apologize. I echo the sentiment there. I definitely support that change. Again, I'm fortunate enough to have come under that defined program back when I first came to the state, going back almost 18 years ago now. I think it certainly has its advantage in terms of recruitment and retention within the state, within law enforcement. And I believe it's a needed thing to stay competitive within the market. Again, we're all competing for the same professionals, and it gives us the opportunity to not only retain but also recruit from outside into the state, and allows us to it's another tool in the toolbox to bring in great law enforcement and other public service providers to the state.
Thank you. I don't see any other questions, but thank you for providing testimony today. Before we move on to public testimony, I want to note we have a third appointee for consideration to the Alaska Police Standards Council that we will be hearing next week. He wasn't available today. We're going to move on to public testimony. If you are on the phone, please make sure you're not on a speakerphone, as the sound quality is not as clear and it is often difficult to hear what you're saying. I'll start by asking if there's anyone in the room who would like to provide public testimony. Hearing and seeing no one, I'm looking online. I note that Joseph Gamache, the Executive Director of the Police Standards Council, is available for questions, but he's not here to provide public testimony, and I don't see anyone else on the list for public testimony, so I'm going to close public testimony. Any further questions from committee members for the appointees? Hearing and seeing none, that brings us to final comments. Any members would the committee want to say anything about these applicants? No. Okay. Senator Keel.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The Judiciary Committee, having reviewed the qualifications of the governor's appointees, recommends the following names be forwarded to a joint session for consideration: Anna Cometa to the Violent Crimes Compensation Board, and Ron Dupuy and Jeff Brown to the Alaska Police Standards Council. This does not reflect an intention by any of the members to vote for or against these individuals during any further sessions for the purposes of confirmation.
The names will be forwarded to the joint session. Please be sure to stay behind to sign the confirmation committee report. And with that, we will adjourn for the day. Our next meeting is on Wednesday, March 6th at 1:30 p.m. And I note, at least for purposes of record keeping, we will not be meeting this Friday. And with that, we will stand adjourned. The time is 1:59 p.m.